Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, November 15th, 2016. Oh, dear one, have you been adopted into the family of God? Well, if you've made that decision to accept and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no longer an orphan, but rather a beloved child, able to call Sovereign Almighty God your Father. If you were tuned in for yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, you heard a portion of a message as preached this past Sunday, November 13th, by Dr. Corey Abney. He's the lead pastor of the Florence Baptist Church in Northern Kentucky, as Great News Radio hosted a group of 55 that was on an adventure to the Creation Museum and the Ark Experience. And because of the time it takes to get there and to enjoy both of these sites, we had an overnight in Florence, Kentucky, and on the internet I searched for a good church, and we were not disappointed. So if you were tuned in yesterday, I know you're back to hear the second part of this 40 or so minute message that I've broken into yesterday and today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. So we'll pick up right where we left off yesterday. Actually, I'll backstep it about a minute to set the context, as Pastor Dr. Corey Abney just finished up preaching about the incredible way, as followers of Jesus, we get to approach God as our Father, that He's our Daddy. And yet he was beginning to share about how we can claim that inheritance in Christ. But first, a little more update about that fantastic trip. If you were tuned in yesterday, on a scale of 1 to 10, I said it was a 15. We thoroughly enjoyed the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. Both contain multiple great experiences of learning, of understanding, creatively presented in various ways through visual aids and timelines, artwork, various displays, and so many other things. So that was a great part of the trip. But what I most appreciated and why I rated it as a 15 on a scale of 1 to 10 was the testimony time on the bus, along with worshiping and singing. And I mentioned four people yesterday that I kind of pulled forward, put on the spot, and asked them to share a little of their spiritual journey, their faith journey. Well, day two began with the church service, then the Ark Encounter, and on our way home, I again tried to draw out of people some of their walking with the Lord, and various people just volunteered or came forward, including Larry Budget Tours Bunning, Mary Mosser sang a song, Elmer Zuhl shared, and he recently had a heart attack and has been a faithful follower of Jesus of many years. Carl and Sandy Duderstadt both came forward. My wife Holly shared some. June Wong, she sang a song in Mandarin and then in English, and we all followed right along. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Melody Prommel shared. And I may have missed a person or two, but what was so outstanding and unique, I think we had 11 or 12 Chinese as a part of our group. And last Friday, if you were tuned in, I was sharing with Jason about the Alpha group I've been a part of the last few weeks on Friday nights. And there were three individuals, three men, where their wives are followers of Jesus, but they're not at the place yet where they've accepted Jesus into their heart. But they're all seeking and open to the gospel. And one, in fact, says he's pretty close to maybe asking Jesus into his heart. Well, Holly had talked with them and said, why don't you ask some of your questions to this group? So they all had a turn to come forward and ask two questions that were on their minds about the Christian faith. And so they all took turns coming forward. And I think one asked, does God really answer prayer? And how do you know? And what does it mean to have faith? And with all these other religions claiming they're the way to God, what makes Christianity the only way? So then I would say, okay, who can answer that question by Jing Jing or Andrew or Terrence? And so different people would come forward and try to give an explanation or say, you know, that is kind of a mystery or hard to understand. It's a very good question. Sometimes just stepping out in faith is what you just have to initially do, and then many of the other questions get answered or just fall into place or don't seem to be all that important anymore. And then each of the people that would maybe share an answer to these various questions would then pray over them. And so, oh, it was just outstanding. It was really neat. And then we had some worship time. You know, we sung Hallelujah and a couple other variations like God answers prayer, and then you'd repeat that, or he loves you so. And anyways, it was just a wonderful time, God working in all of our lives. And what a great time to be with Great News Radio listeners. Just a neat special family for those few days. But I would ask for some very specific prayers for three individuals, these Chinese men that are seeking to know more about Christianity and are entertaining the idea of asking Jesus into their hearts. They just have some questions and want to know more. And so if you in the days ahead can pray for Jingjing, Andrew, and Terrence, I'll keep you posted. And we'll be excited and anticipate God wooing them to himself in the days ahead. Well, what I so appreciated about this Sunday message, as preached a few days ago at the Florence Baptist Church in Northern Kentucky, was the emphasis of helping orphans, those in need, and engaging the gospel through sacrificial giving, giving up something. And so you're going to hear how the Florence Baptist Church has a special week they call Hunger Week, where they give up various meals or things and take those resources, and in their case, specifically help those in Haiti. But I think for us, we can find points of application locally here, or certainly internationally. But take to heart the following message as preached on Sunday by Dr. Corey Abney. And as you hear a video presentation, I know you can't see it, but listen to the powerful testimony and how God has transformed this individual's life so that he becomes a catalyst of change, pouring his energy into helping people rather than hating them. So I'll back up just about a minute as Dr. Corey Abney just got finished explaining that we can approach God as our Father. And if that isn't enough, that we can look at Jesus as our brother, a co-heir of all the heavenly blessings that God will pour out on us.
Listen, we're not just sons and daughters. Check this out. We're also heirs of a great inheritance. In other words, everything that Jesus Christ has in heaven is also yours and mine. Now, if it were not enough that God is your Father, just let that sink in. Christ is your brother. His righteousness covers you. And the sonship that Christ knows is the sonship and the daughtership that you can know through him as well. And the inheritance awaiting for you and me is an inheritance of a new heaven and a new earth. Man, that is our hope. That is what we long for. We're crying out now, Abba, Father. God is our Father, Christ our brother. And notice Paul says he's not just God, that is our Father, Christ also our brother. We are not just sons and daughters, we are also heirs. We have a great inheritance. Now listen, I'm not talking about some trust fund kid out on the West Coast here. I'm not talking about, you think of, an inheritance. I'm not talking about some old dusty furniture you get from your grandparents. I'm talking about an inheritance that is the new heaven and the new earth. I'm talking about hope beyond the grave. We believe that at the return of Jesus, every Christ follower, either those on the earth at his return or those who have already died and gone to be with him in spirit, we will experience a bodily resurrection where we receive a glorified body without sin, without any disease, without any potential for death, and we will have a glorified body, and there we will worship King Jesus as our brother under the love of our Father. This is our hope. Now, I'm looking forward to that day. How about you? I was at a basketball game yesterday watching one of my boys play, and I was talking to another dad. And I got to admit, we kind of got caught up in a little bit of reminiscing. The older I get, the better I used to be. I was talking to this other dad, and I mean, you know, this is just a paraphrase of our conversation. Yeah, pretty much, I'm convinced, man, if I were still playing ball, if I could just go back to high school, there's no doubt Coach Cal would be knocking on my door. No doubt about it, man. And I still play basketball on occasion. I've explained to this friend of mine, I said, you know what, I've pretty much just given it up. Because the last time I played basketball, a good friend of mine, somebody you know, tore an ACL. In fact, let me just tell you the story. I didn't plan to tell you the story. Let me tell you the story. It was actually at my house. Okay? We're playing basketball in the driveway. And there's some guys getting together playing basketball. Good friend of mine tears his ACL. He's laying there on the ground underneath the basketball goal. It's not good. Okay? It's just not good. You know right away it's bad. Well, my youngest son had been waiting to get on the court to play. Dad, can I play? No. Hey, big boy time. No. Soon as my friend completely tears his ACL, laying there, writhing in pain, I hear... ball lands right next to my friend's head, laying on the ground. Oh, my youngest doesn't care what's going on. He'd been waiting for his turn to play. He's coming out taking some shots. So he's shooting a ball. I got a friend down here dying on me, you know? And so I'm like, okay, this is a pretty funny story. I'm glad it's him and not me, you know? So I'm thinking, I I'm at an age now in my late 20s. I probably should think about giving this up, you know? And that's what happens. You age. Your body starts to fail. I had a guy after our first service, so I'll say this, come up to me and said, you know what? I played basketball until I was 74 years old. You just keep on going. Isn't that amazing? I had no response to that. I'm like, okay, I repent. I'm so sorry. I'm a sissy. I don't even know what I'm doing here, you know? You get older, your body starts breaking down. The reality is we're all staring death in the face, you know? In your mind, you never probably leave your 20s. Oh, I know I could still do that if I had the opportunity, but your body starts breaking down. Here's our hope. Our hope is not tied to anything in this world. Our hope is tied to the fact that as we stare death in the face and our bodies start slowing down, and our bodies start breaking down, guess what? We have a champion named Jesus Christ who has paid for our sin. He's overcome the power of death. And even if I succumb to death on this side of eternity, it will not win the day. My spirit will be with the Lord, and at the resurrection, I will have a glorified body. Well, there I will be with all my other adopted family members, worshiping King Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's our hope right there. And so we celebrate that. This is the power of adoption, of God on His own initiative, looking down from heaven, if you will, on a mass of humanity that have all abandoned Him and therefore orphaned themselves. And God saying, I'm not going to let them fail. I'm going to save a remnant for myself that will be my children, will be my family. They will know my love. They will know my acceptance. Christ will have their inheritance for them, and we will rejoice and share together through all eternity. God glorifying Himself through this power of adoption. And so God has saved a remnant. He has saved a people. He has brought us near. He has caused us to be born again. We are now more than just a random collection of people who worship at the same place. No, we are, in the truest sense, brothers and sisters. We have an inheritance awaiting us. We have full acceptance before the Father in the same way that Jesus does. We have an identity now that's not tied to our success or our failures. It's tied to our Savior. And so adoption is at the heart of the gospel. So let me come full circle. Why then as a church do we emphasize adoption? Foster care, orphan care. Why Hunger Week? Why an emphasis where we're going to give a little bit more and live a little bit differently so that we can better empathize and sympathize with those who are among the least of these? And the answer very simply is because we, more than anyone on the face of the earth, understand what it means to be adopted. We understand the power of it. And we, therefore, commit to be a people who do precisely what our Father has told us to do. In my name, by my grace, with my love, you be a blessing to the fatherless. You go to those who cannot help themselves, and you show my compassion and my kindness. And through that, we demonstrate a beautiful picture of the gospel to the unbelieving world. Which is why James 1:27 says it this way, religion that is truly pure and undefiled before God, our Father, is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world. You may be asking, hey, Can Florence Baptist Church really make a difference through adoption? Can Florence Baptist Church really make a difference through orphan care? Can the people of Florence Baptist Church truly make a dent in a country with over 400,000 children in foster care? And I'm telling you, yes, we can. And I want you to see a story of a dear friend of mine whose life has been forever changed because of adoption, and who is now partnering with us to change lives through the ministry of adoption, orphan care, and foster care. Watch this testimony with me.
Growing up in the 70s, being an adopted child was not fun. There was really no appeal to being adopted like there might be today. And so kids were mean, and adults were very cruel. And so I can remember people asking my dad what the milkman looked like, and people asking my mom, is that the neighbor's kid? So there are two type of orphans in this world. There are the children who are orphaned because of some tragic event that took their parents from them. And then there are orphans in this world who are orphaned because the people who gave birth to them chose to abandon them. I'm in that latter group. And so I grew up knowing that the one person in life who should have at all cost cared about me and loved me did not. And so the pain of growing up with that sort of a situation as a small child leading up into even adolescence is very, very painful. The greatest fear I had as a child is the same fear I have today as an adult, and it's abandonment. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be rejected, because that's who I was as a child. And that's a lot to grow up with. That's a lot to live with, knowing that the one person who should have given you unconditional love didn't want you.
We were in the same school in first grade, but my earliest memories of him were probably third grade. But anyway, so I've known him a very long time as a friend. And then, you know, when we started dating and got engaged and got married and all that. And even after we had been married 5 or 6 years, I really didn't understand how being adopted affected him until we got pregnant with Davis. And he talked about Davis being the first blood relative that he would ever know. And that hit me like a ton of bricks, because I'd never even considered it. And I had never thought about him not having a blood relative.
After becoming a Christian, I realized that life just isn't always about me. As a matter of fact, a lot of life isn't about me at all. And so I had this great pain, which ended up being this great fuel for hatred and anger when I was a child. When I became a Christian, the hatred and the anger went away, but the fuel was still there. And so I said to God, okay, you've shown me it's not about me. What is this to be used for? And God laid it on my heart. I'm giving you the pain and the hurt so that you can propel that forward and use that to help others who are hurting. So I do what I do for a living really as a result of me asking God. You gave me the pain. You gave me the hurt. You dulled that pain. You dulled that hurt. How do I use this experience to help others who are hurting? And God said, I've got a place for you.
I think it's a God-led thing. He has the talent for this, and he loves to do it. He loves to see people be impacted. He loves to serve other people. And I think it's really just a God-driven thing that he had this on his heart and he wanted to do it. I have parents that want to be a part of something bigger than themselves.
So when Travis came to me and said we're going to Haiti as a group, and we're going to be going there hopefully as a church, and we're going to focus on orphans and orphan care, and he asked me if I would be interested in being a part of that ministry. It took all of about 2 seconds to say that. That's who I was. And so I went. I went as part of the exploratory team, and it was life-changing. Immediately, it was the shock of being in a third-world environment and actually seeing how bad things can be. Then it was the shock of how could a group of people with so little be so happy. I thought, I am really going to be a resource to these kids. I'm going to help change their lives. I'm going to help make their lives better. It took all of about 20 minutes for me to realize who was really being ministered to. They were ministering to me. They were showing me how selfish I still am, how self-absorbed I still am, and how you can be happy and joyful and hopeful in the midst of absolute nothing. I was ashamed.
He went thinking that he was going to be a change agent in these kids' lives, but oh my gosh. When he came back, Jeff's a talker. And when he came back, he couldn't even verbalize it. That's one of the reasons I knew that, you know, that he was changed. It impacted him so much that it took him a while to verbalize what it was that he felt.
We're making a solid dent in the problems related to orphan care and being an orphan in Haiti. I would be lying to you if I told you I felt like we were doing enough. We have the opportunity to do so much. We have vast resources here at this church. And we help 100 kids a month. The great news is God has given us all the resources we need to impact thousands of children in Haiti. We've been commanded to help the least of these. And I'm quite certain that the orphans in Haiti qualify as the least of these. As Christians, I think a lot of us are moved by empathy. Rarely do we have actual sympathy. And sympathy comes from not just understanding what it's like to walk in your shoes, but I've walked in those shoes. Hunger Week's important because we actually have to feel the pain of scaling back. That gives us sympathy. Sympathy leads to emotion. Emotion leads to action. And action is where these children feel loved. This is an opportunity for us to feel a little pain. We don't like that as Christians. We don't like to feel a little pain. But we get to feel a little pain and a little discomfort and realize what it's like to go a little bit without. Maybe that without means, hey, I can do this every week or I can do this 1 week a month. And what we say we're going to send to these kids in Haiti. What I know from the children in Haiti, every little bit is an act of love. Love is what Christ has commanded us to show. And through that love, they get to know Him. That's the best gift that we could ever give those children.
Four years ago, we embarked on a journey for the very first time to care for the least of these through an emphasis on adoption and foster care and orphan care. And I just want to say I'm so grateful for all of you and your partnership in that regard. Because right now, in Gonaïve, Haiti, at an orphanage not far from the ocean, there are children who are not random. Rather, they are known. Maslin and Rubens and Pita and Denise and Naomi and Juna and many others who are known to us and who more significantly know you. And because of your giving, because of your praying, because of your going, because as a group of adopted people who have said we're going to prioritize adoption and orphan care, they have access to the gospel. So that just a couple of weeks ago, listen, we had over 100 people put their faith in Christ as a result of a team that went. Over the past 4 years, yeah, we can celebrate that. Over the past 4 years, we've seen hundreds of people there put their faith in Christ. And if you haven't yet, you need to walk through our Haiti experience and meet some of the children and some of the pastors and some of the people that you're impacting. The world may see that as waste. We see it as worship. An adopted people who are going to the fatherless with the love of our great Father. Many of you over the past 4 years have gone through the adoption process here at home. You've adopted either domestically or internationally, and you've had support here. Some of you have reached out to children in the foster care system, and you've shown them the love of Christ. when I prayed with you. And so we're seeing God do some amazing things where lives are being changed and transformed and where the gospel is being displayed. And I just want to thank you for this. This is our mandate. Those of us with the Holy Spirit leading us to cry out, Abba, Father, going to the fatherless and showing them the love of a true father. And so here's what we're going to ask you to do this week. As my friend Jeff said so articulately, we need to not just empathize, we need to sympathize. And so this week really is about making some modifications to how we live so that we can feel what it's like for most people in the world. And we can feel what it's like for many children in the world. We're asking you to make a modification of how you eat. And I want to challenge you to do this. To lower your grocery budget for this week. Head over to Kroger tonight. When you leave here, here's what I want you to do. When you leave, take one per family, one of these hunger week guides, okay? On one side, there's a prayer guide where you and your family can pray every single day for unique ministries and missions work that Florence Baptist Church is engaged in. And on the other side, there are just some hunger week tips in terms of what to buy, what to eat. Plan a menu this week. That's not nothing. It's just less than what you're used to. And we've got some recommendations here of how you can do it. Still get protein, still have fuel to live and work and all the rest, but still do it in such a way where you feel what it's like for these kids and these people around the world who have so much less than what we do. And in the feeling of that hunger and in the adjustment of the next few days, listen, let that fuel you to pray. Let it fuel you to give. We're asking you to save. On average, we're asking for $200 a family. Save $200 and bring that over and above your regular gifts. And let's fuel this ongoing work of missions and orphan care. And let's have gospel conversations with our spouses, with our children, and with our grandchildren. I look forward to this week. It's going to be a big adjustment for my family, but I can't wait to sit around the table and hear my children complain. And then use those complaints to have a conversation about the gospel. And about our role in gospel engagement, our role in orphan care. Listen, not everyone's called to adopt. Listen, not everybody can go to Haiti. But all of us can give, all of us can pray, and all of us can participate in this ongoing work of gospel engagement that is literally changing people's lives. And so I'm excited and I'm so grateful for how God has used you over the last 4 years. We've seen amazing things happen, but hey, listen, we're not going to settle. And I'm praying that this week will be the best hunger week yet. This will be the best week of adoption, orphan care emphasis. And we're praying for God to do great things. And listen, you've got to be back next Sunday. And we're going to celebrate what God's done through these efforts. We're going to celebrate what God is doing. And we're going to do it in a way that I think will just rock your world. And so, hey, let's be a people of prayer, a people of sacrifice, a people of generosity this week. Let's feel that tension in our bellies. And let's come next week praying more fervently, giving more sacrificially, and going more strategically in the days and the years to come. This is Hunger Week.
Well, that was the voice of Dr. Corey Abney, the lead pastor at the Florence Baptist Church in Northern Kentucky. As our group of 56 attended the church service, as we had visited the Creation Museum on Saturday, began our day at the Florence Baptist Church, and then head to the Ark Encounter, I wanted to share his message with you because we were so blessed and challenged, and it's very thought-provoking, and maybe your church will have a hunger week. Or maybe you as an individual for the first time will recognize that you have been an orphan, but as you surrender and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you're grafted into the kingdom of God and can approach God in a very personal, intimate way because He is your Father, your Dad who loves you very much. Well, our hope is in Jesus Christ, and our identity is tied into Him being our Savior, our Redeemer, our Friend, our Lord, our Master, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. And I hope this Thursday you'll come out to the Great News Radio Center as Pastor Dr. Joey Kroll will be coming to town, and we'll have a book signing beginning at 5:30 to about 7:15. He'll have $10 copies of his book, Common Misunderstandings About God, Jesus, and the Bible, for sale. You can take a look at the progress being made at the Great News Radio Center and enjoy some great fellowship with other Great News Radio listeners. So hope to see you Thursday night at Lincoln Square at the Great News Radio Center. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.